George.
This is George LaPointe. I think this is fine, Karen, because as you say, it was modeled after the FERC process, which works, I think, as well as a process can. My only concern is that the time frame set forward in here may not are goals, but they may not be realistic. When all the other work that our agencies do get involved in gets meshed with this, we may be slower than that.
And thank you, George. And I think this again, you know, there's always a danger in being the first one to propose something. So the purpose of this is to get an idea out there. And I would imagine the federal agencies would want to look carefully at this, as well as our state agencies, to really map out the proposed approach here to see if it might need, you know, some alteration. But I really encourage folks to do that, because that's really how we'll learn and design a workable approach that really makes sense and is embedded in what the agencies can do realistically.
Hi, thanks, Karen. This is Kathleen Layden. I think one of the benefits of this for us is having responsibilities for all the federal agencies and how we're going to work together in one place, as opposed to having individual agreements with different agencies. And the fact that this really mirrors, I think, the way that the President's executive order and National Ocean Policy are asking the federal agencies to work together. I appreciate that the agencies on the phone are probably still trying to figure out how they're going to do business under that executive order, but I think this goes a ways towards that.
Thank you, Kathleen. I think in designing this, we had hoped as well to encourage transparency so that everyone knew what everyone was doing. I think one of the concerns we have, perhaps from the state, is that if BOMRA has separate cooperating agreements with different agencies, not all together under one umbrella, if you will, which is what the goal here is that it might actually become more confusing if there are slightly different timelines or expectations in each of those agreements. So I think having a holistic approach where all the federal agencies and all the state agencies know generally what would be a desired timeline, outcome, and how to share information could be very beneficial. I would also just want to really emphasize that we're not in any way suggesting that any agency, state or federal's statutory or regulatory requirements or authorization be modified in any way, or any standards changed in any way, but rather that as a proposal moves forward, that the agencies generally share in knowing where it is in the pipeline, developers know where they can send information that might meet a number of different agency needs at the same time, and to be in touch, to again to try to have a very clear path forward for the agencies and for any proponent.
Karen, this is Chris Volke. At the last meeting, Tim Redding went through the NEPA process and the review process for BOMRI. Now, but so I guess I'm not, and it was really laid out, and that's going to be consistent across all of the states, and federal agencies really know how we're going to be involved in that NEPA process or multiple NEPA processes. How is this going to improve that process, or why don't, what is the reason that we don't just use that process?
I think that if that, for example, could be laid out in a letter of agreement that the state agencies could be part of with, I'd need to look at that chart again. I don't recall that there were sort of goals for timelines, and I think part of what we are perhaps seeking here is a better understanding of how information that comes from a developer is shared amongst the federal agencies and how that comes to the state. You know, really see this letter as a list of areas that we just don't quite understand how the federal process is going to work. So we've taken a stab at putting out on paper what would make the most sense to us, and maybe it's in alignment with what Tim Redding laid out, but I think it's in a little more detail, and it's helpful to us because it's still a little vague to us what happens when those NEPA review process begins, and how the developer and the state agencies will be intersecting with that. So it's more to perhaps crisp it up a notch, and we're happy again to take comments, work with Tim and others, to use what's already been laid out and perhaps sort through the details where we're still not clear. Also, I think George has a comment.
If I may comment to Chris's question, I think what this does is put the states in more of a partnership role, because under the federal NEPA process, you've got requirements that the federal agencies need to do, and we feel left out of that sometimes. And our experience with the FERC process is that everybody's at the table as an equal partner. So it gives us more comfort, more strength, and being treated as real partners. So I think that's a real advantage to this kind of template as opposed to just relying on NEPA.
Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Nagoski.
Chris Volke is now exiting.
Bye.
So there.
when the Ocean Energy Task Force was working with FERC to develop the MOU for tidal power, one of the goals was to make our process be what we termed a one-stop shopping, so that the applicant who was needing both state and federal permits could work in a coordinated fashion, so that what they were using for their federal permit would also be applicable to what they needed from the state, so they didn't have to go through the endeavor twice. And I think in addition to that, trying to improve the efficiency of the permitting process, the other thing that I read in here is the recognition that we're talking about a 25 megawatt project. We're not talking about a 200 megawatt project or a 600 megawatt project. We're talking about a relatively small project that's going to be, I think we all recognize, one of the first of its kind potentially in the United, in the world, but probably the first in the United States. And that the process for that, given the size of it and given where the state of our knowledge is on this type of technology, like we did with our general permit for technology testing projects in state waters, we recognized and adopted an adaptive management approach based on the size of the project and also the newness of the technology, and you know did not require as much pre-construction data and that we might ordinarily have required in other situations. So I think part of this and part of the, you know, what it addresses is what our concern with the length of time that the federal process that you outlined to us was projected to take, and that for a 25 megawatt project, that didn't, to many of us, didn't make a lot of sense. So I think that the goal here is to reduce that time and to improve, like George and Karen said, the efficiencies of working with the state and federal governments collectively.
Thank you, Beth. And I guess I'm just reflecting on the question and realized that I think for those of you in the federal agencies that are doing this work on and off as part of your regular work, Tim Redding's chart and his description probably felt very comfortable, and you understood what it signified, and you could visualize how that would work in your given your agency's responsibilities. I think for those of us who are looking at for the first time an offshore renewable energy project in federal waters, we're trying to understand how our agencies here in the state can be involved in a timely way, and we're hearing that the NEPA review takes a long time. We just want to try to do what we can to propose clear and methodical review So we have a sense of what's happening at the federal level, and also that our state's agencies can, as George said, be partners in that review in a very timely way, and that we might be able to work together to have more unified submittals by the developers. So I hope that's helpful. Are there any other comments from the state agencies that you want to add to this? Aditi, is there some way that we might try to get comments from participants on this? We called it a letter of intent. It could be something like a letter of goals or guiding goals. It's not intended to be a very formal, hard and fast legal document, but rather, it would be wonderful if we could all agree to just generally what are the expectations and goals for how we might move forward together. So I'd love to have people's comments on this, if that's possible, and if they could go through you, Aditi, or if they could come here to Maine, that would be wonderful.
Actually, they can, if everyone, all the task force members can send it to you, Karen, that would be great.
Yeah, this is Michelle Warren. One thing I did want to point out, in general, we like the message. Normally, though, our property agreements under NEPA are when the project is more defined and actually tailored to that project. And the state agencies can also be identified as cooperating agencies. And we have, with other states, actually prepared joint environmental documents. So as far as the cooperating agency agreement goes, it is once the project is probably further along and there's more that can be detailed in the schedule tailored to that project. And we would invite cooperating that would either have jurisdiction or expertise.
Well, we appreciate any suggestions for how to move these goals forward in a way that works from your perspective. And again, we want to be constructive and let you know kind of what we're hoping for here. And if there are ways to format it that dovetails with other mechanisms that are already underway, that would be fine. We look forward to your suggestions. I would mention that if people have comments, if they could get them to me by November 30th, I'd appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Karen, you said what, November 30th?
Yes, if people could get me comments by November 30th of this, I'd appreciate it.
And yeah, we will send our comments to Karen, to you.
Thank you. Was there anything else on this topic, or should we turn it back to you, Aditi and Mo?
I think unless anyone else has anything on the letter of comments, any thoughts or comments, then we can move on. And as I said, Mo is not here. She's had to step out for another meeting. So I guess, Karen, do you want to close? Have any closing remarks or thoughts?
Yes, and actually Kathy Layden has one thing to add before we close.
Okay. Actually, a comment and then a question to Aditi. We heard various disclaimers from Matt and Deirdre about the data compilation and the fact that it's extremely preliminary. Mm-hmm. And there were disclaimers that showed up on the screenshots about, for the Island Institute maps, that permission is needed from the Island Institute to use those maps. And then a disclaimer for the material that Matt produced on the part of state agencies. I would just ask, there's a member of the press in the audience, if you have questions about that disclaimer, please see Matt afterwards. And if any of the Island Institute information you plan to reference that, I just want to make sure that it's appropriately characterized, if you could talk to the Island Institute as well. And then for Aditi, I don't think we were able to capture the names of all the people on the phone So in your preparation of the meeting notes, I'm hoping that you were able to do that. Thanks.
Yes, and actually, this is where I wanted to maybe get some help from you too, Kathleen. If you can, or somebody at your end can compile a list of people who are gathered in the room there. We tried to get most of them, but then we can cross-reference and make sure that we got the same name. So I can certainly put the names together, but it was a little bit hard for us to hear everyone at your end too. So if you or Matt or somebody can compile it and send me a list, then that would be great.
Right.
Not that, the same with the list that I have.
Okay, that we have that. We just don't have the people who called in necessarily.
Okay, I have most of the names that I captured them, so I can, I'll be happy to share those with you.
Well, I think it sounds like there are meetings coming to a close. Are there any other final matters that anyone wants to bring up? Well, again, I want to express my sincere appreciation to everyone who has participated in this. I really want to thank the folks at BOMRA, Mo and Aditi, and your team have just been tremendous to work with. I really thank you for all the preparation that you've undertaken to have both of these task force meetings. And I want to extend my sincere appreciation to the federal agencies, again, for taking such a chunk out of your time. And we so appreciated your coming to Maine for the first meeting as well. Again, to my state colleagues, thank you so much for your involvement. Great presentations. Matt and Deirdre and others from the State Planning Office. I'm very excited about this continued dialogue. I think sharing the data that we have, giving you a sense of geographies where there are fewer conflicts and areas where there are more conflicts, where we might focus additional research, thinking through how we might work together should there be an actual proposal for federal waters. For a 25 megawatt pilot project. It's very exciting. And we greatly look forward to continued opportunities. I think probably the next task force meeting will be in the new year. The governor-elect Paula Page will be taking the helm for the state. And I'm sure Kathleen Layden will be in touch with all of you to set up a third task force meeting when we're ready for that meeting.
Joining.
Welcome back, Chris.
Sorry, I had a fire drill.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Well, we're just closing up, Chris, and I'm extending my appreciation to all of you for your efforts. And you know, just to recognize the scientific expertise that so many of you bring to this task, your care and concern for the resource, your interest in the renewable energy, and a thoughtful process. Again, we are very appreciative of all of the thought and time that you're putting to this. So I think we'll sign off here on this end, and. There will be a Q&A period for the public now. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Sorry, if I can add a couple of things?
Oh, sure. Yes, please.
Yes. I just again wanted to thank everyone who participated on the call and also all your efforts for the AOS initiatives as well. We will keep you apprised of any proposals that come forward, and we also wanted to let you know that the action plans are with the Secretariat currently, and we will keep you informed as to when we hear about anything that we get to hear on them as we move forward. But currently, we don't have any information, but we'll definitely be in touch with you on those.
Thanks.
One other thing, I just wanted to go over the action items. Chris, I know you just to find out, but we regarding the letter of intent, the comments, all the task force members are requested to please make their comments to this letter of intent by November 30th and send it to Karen. Is that right, Karen? Should we send it to your task?
Yes, that would be helpful. Thank you.
And Matt and others there on the state side, is I had a question about the presentation on the webinar that you presented. Would that be available to share among all the task force members?
The actual presentation was a live operation of ArcGIS, which is a mapping software. So it wasn't a PowerPoint or anything like that. I mean, the best way to really see what was in there is just looking at the data bibliography that was already distributed. Most of that data in there is publicly available anyway from various state and federal websites. So there isn't really an easy way to do it via presentation. I mean, if you have a question about a particular layer, just I would suggest giving me a call or sending me an email, and I can make a picture of it and send it along.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll, if there are any questions or comments on just the maps and gaps part, then we can refer them to you, Matt, right?
That's right.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone else have any other comments?